This episode of Earl Grey is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 180,000 titles for smartphone, tablet, and desktop. To get a free audiobook of your choice and help Trek FM at the same time, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm. And also by Enterprise in Space, an international program of the nonprofit National Space Society. Find out how you can help science and education and become a virtual crew member aboard the NSS Enterprise Orbiter by visiting enterpriseinspace.org.
Hi, this is Clyde Kusatsu. I play Admiral Nakamura on Star Trek Next Generation, and welcome you all to Trek FM.
T.L. Greyhawk.
Welcome to another Cup of Earl Grey, Trek FM's dedicated podcast to the next generation. I'm your host, Joe Keegan, and joined with me today is the ever amazing Amy Nelson. Amy, how are you today?
I am doing great. So glad to be here. Welcome back, Joe. I loved seeing all your pictures from Destination Star Trek.
Oh, it was such good fun. Like all Star Trek conventions, it's just really nice to meet the people that you don't see from day to day, week to week. You only see them kind of once or twice a year. So it was lovely to catch up and just be with my Trek pals. So that was great. And as usual, my other host is here, Justin Ozer, who is jubilant and jovian and something else starting with a J.
So hi, Joe. I live on Jupiter. I'm Jovian.
Yes.
Cool.
Indeed.
I like it. But it was great that you had such a great time at Destination Star Trek. Very jealous. And I'm hoping, because of your science background, you are trying to perfect that transporter so I can join you next year. How's it going on that?
There's some issues with kind of what happens at the quantum level. Being able to tell kind of position and spin of all your particles at the same time.
Well, you just need to invent the Heisenberg compensator at the same time and you'll be fine.
And just compensate for that fact. Yeah. Just guess. Guess where your bits are, yeah.
Yep.
That's fine.
Well, if you could, you know, I'll go into the transporter and then split like Thomas and Will, so then okay. I can still be teaching, but then, you know, really be in
You teachers, you just want more copies of yourself to do your jobs.
Like we've been here before. Mm. I don't think it's going to work.
Disturbed. But anyway, yes, I'm doing well other than worrying about that.
That's cool. Don't worry about it. I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon. So there's not going to be multiple copies of Amy or I in the near future.
Not soon. Okay, that's good.
But hey. So we have some iTunes reviews from August and September. Amy, would you like to read the first one?
Yes, we have a 5-star review from 1701682782DJSN.
Oh, I love that guy.
Yes. The 1701, I get the reference. The rest of it, I don't get.
Oh, I was hoping that you would. Okay. All right.
It's not lost.
A really far in the future star date after that? Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Possibly.
All right. Well, the subject is great podcast and writes, listening to this podcast every week is like joining a conversation with some amazing friends. To make it even better, they're talking about one of my favorite shows. Well, thank you for that great review. And we obviously love talking about it and glad that we're your friends because we're friends too.
Yeah, we are all friends. And even our listeners that we might not have met are our friends because we come to you every week. One of the really weird things at Destination Star Trek was I'd be having random conversations with people like at various times a day. And they'd say, they'd listen to my voice and they go, wait, are you Joe Keegan? And I'd be like, I'd like back off a little bit and I'd be like, yes, why? I was waiting for like, or you've been served or something like that. But no, they were like, oh, we are Trek FM listeners. We love Earl Grey. And it was kind of surreal.
Isn't that awesome? It was.
I felt what it might feel like to be Amy Nelson.
It's well, true. I don't know if you've reached that level yet, but...
not quite, but it was a taste.
But yeah, Joe, I think you're experiencing what I experienced for the first time, probably in 2018 after I'd been doing Earl Grey for a while, and people would come up at STLV and they'd be like, I think I know you. Are you Justin? I'm like, yes, I am. Who are you? And they'd be like, oh, I'm this Twitter handle. Oh, you're that person, because I don't know people by their name sometimes. But it's very cool. At first, it takes some time to get used to, though.
Yeah, it does. It's so cool. Justin, you've got the next iTunes review.
Yeah, so this is from KC Trekkie FM via Apple Podcasts in the US from September 10th. Subject is Still Warping, and it's a 5-star review. So the review says, enjoying Earl Grey on a weekly basis and have for quite some time. The regularity and underrated aspect of podcasting is stellar, and the amount of new topics after so many episodes is great. Art thrives under restriction, and the creativity to come up with great topics is art. Thanks for keeping me entertained, and thanks to @FitzyCalHerb, who's Jeff Stone. Assume that's the person that maybe introduced them to Earl Grey, but thank you, KC Trekkie FM. We do really appreciate that you enjoy Earl Grey on a weekly basis, and yes, it's been a very regular podcast for a long time. Just about every week of the year on Tuesday, you can have a new Earl Grey episode, and yeah, it's. I think people ask me sometimes, like, how do you keep coming up with topics? And it's like, there's just so much to talk about in the next generation. We're actually, I think, never going to get to all of it that we want to talk about. So it's fun, and it's a thrill that people like the topics.
I feel like an artist now. Art thrives under restriction.
I know.
Yeah. I feel like we're doing something that's kind of changing the world.
Yeah.
In our own little corner.
True. Yeah, and sometimes when we do this, I'm like, I'm getting together with my friends, Amy and Joe. We're going to talk TNG, and it's fun. But like, people listen to it, and they're like, wow, this is a great episode you put together. And it's like, we were just talking and having a conversation.
Yeah,
I mean,
just having a wee chat.
Okay, there's more prep than that. But still, yeah. I mean, it's just very gratifying. So thank you.
So true. Right. We have some bad news and some good news next.
Yes.
Recently, we had our iTunes giveaway. The bad news is that we never heard from the winner, Lean D, whoever that is. So we're going to reselect a new winner in hope that they contact us and they will receive the prize of the TNG collectible cards.
Yes.
Justin, are you going to select this new winner?
I am. So I'm going to select this using a random number generator from the 11 reviews that we had gotten from July 1st to August 31st when the contest was open. So shall I pick the winner?
Yeah, please pick me. Pick me. Pick
you were not eligible.
You've already got
us. And you've already got your cards from Chris anyway. I know. Okay. All right. So,
thanks, Chris.
So here we go. All right. So... I think we know who this is. The winner is Casey Lee 4TS, the Apple Podcast.
Yay, from, Casey!
Yay. From last week, we read out our iTunes review, didn't we? And she, no, or something. We read out something. He, oh yeah.
And he's been on Patrons Roundtables. Oh, great.
Okay.
Congratulations, Casey. So reach out to us and send us your information, and we will send you those great collectible cards. Yay.
Yay.
So we have some Babel Conference feedback for Earl Grey episode 296, which was The Science in the Next Generation part 4. And Christopher Baca says, it is interesting that Trek sort of missed robots, even though they were referenced on the original series. We also saw androids and advanced AI with the M5 computer. The Enterprise also had drones on board to aid in exploring an area of space. The closest we got to a robot was Nomad with advanced AI and the M4 robot. I guess it could have been a budget thing. Look how time-consuming it was to film the robots in Star Wars, especially R2. A great comment, Christopher. I think it probably was a budget thing to do kind of any kind of complex robots or androids. Data was an exception, but that was just a guy in makeup, really.
Yeah.
I really like the DOT-7s.
On Discovery.
From Discovery. When they kind of came out their wee hatches on the hull and went to repair the hull, they were cool.
Very cool. But yeah, definitely a good point. So Stefan Ringline says, very special episode. First of all, it was so fun to hear Justin burst out into laughter. As you said, it's infectious. Couldn't help but smile and laugh with him. It's precious to have those silly moments. Second, nice picks. I love how Joe talked about VR. You described it in a way that I felt like I'm there. Almost made me get a vibe myself. Almost. Interface is a great episode and takes VR to the next level. If I recall correctly, Jordy wasn't just getting optical inputs through his visor ports, but also sensor input through the bodysuit and at his hands. That's why he got burned there. They increased the input to boost the range, if I'm not mistaken. The other episode is sadly even more relevant today. They did a good job at the start to mirror the problem of destroying the environment, but in the end, it wasn't made clear if it was the entire galaxy that suffers from warp drive or just that region. I think that was Force of Nature. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Stefan goes on to say, I remember seeing that one for the first time as a teenager and how I instantly picked up what they referred to and the mentions of the speed limit in some episodes after that. Thanks for these science episodes. Keep up the good work. So, yeah, thank you, Stefan, for all of your comments. Glad you and other listeners enjoyed me losing it on the podcast. I really did. So, and it was fun to kind of listen back to that. I listened back to it and I actually had the same reaction I did while I was on the episode, so I was not okay for a little bit. But anyway, glad you enjoyed the discussion about VR and Force of Nature and all the other stuff, so thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you, Stefan. Get a vibe, definitely do it. Save up all your pennies and go and buy one for yourself. It won't be a bad purchase. Also, the thing about Jordy's inputs, his suit that he wore, I was thinking about this, like if you're having a bad dream, and you wake up and there's this kind of physiological reaction to what's going on in your brain. You can wake up and covered in sweat because of the dream. So it's that kind of that, but taken to the next level, I think.
Yeah, I could see that. Or you wake up screaming or something based on something that's in your dream. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
Casey Pettit says, hearing Justin's uncontrollable laughter was infectious. Can't even get out your final thoughts. I'm starting to think you need to do a whole episode on the bot script. Well, Casey, hashtag still listening. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, I will say more because I want lots of people to listen
okay.
to this. So, Casey, thank you for your comment. And what we've decided to do is in the bonus section after the previously on Trek FM, when we would usually do a bonus question, we are going to, among the three of us, read the whole thing. Now, it's not really a whole...
No, hold on a minute, Justin. Yeah. We're not just going to read the whole thing.
Yeah.
We're doing a spectacular performance of it. A dramatic reading, if you will.
Okay. So what I was... anyway, I just want to say it's not going to take 45 minutes or anything. It's really just a couple pages for the whole thing. But my challenge is to try to not laugh as you guys do your parts and I do my parts. And we'll see if I succeed or not.
You're still going to fail at that.
Probably. Like, one of two things is going to happen. Either I'll be able to do it completely straight, and then at the end, I will just lose it, or I will laugh throughout, and it will take 45 minutes.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I can't wait.
Yeah. So thank you for the suggestion. We were definitely thinking along those same lines.
Indeed.
Yeah. So, Gina Marie says, this made me laugh so hard at work today, my coworkers thought I was crying for a second. LOL, I couldn't breathe. So... And I think we also got some other feedback by email and on the Babel conference that people were at work and they burst out laughing and people thought they were insane. They had to explain what was going on. So, glad we could bring that into your day and hope we didn't get anybody fired. So anyway, so
I'm glad we're bringing joy into people's lives.
Yes,
exactly.
Really
need it.
Okay, thank you everybody for your Babel conference feedback and keep sending it and we might read it out. So we're going to get into the main part of the episode where we're talking about our favorite badass Riker moments. Are you sure we're allowed to say that?
Yes.
Yes.
We've done several episodes before.
For a long time. Thanks to Nick Anastasio who came up with the idea and we started with the badass...
Picard, I think.
Picard, yeah. Yeah. So we've been going through and it's Riker's turn today.
Yeah.
And this is my first badass character episode.
So can I ask you a question?
I don't like saying that word.
Yeah,
like
you don't have to. So I just wanted to ask you a question because I'm trying to think. I don't know since you've been on if we've talked about Riker a lot. Like, what do you think of him as a character?
It's weird. I was thinking about that today when I was researching it. I think he's just a character for me. He didn't particularly resonate with me when I was growing up. The characters that I really identified with were Picard, LaForge, and Data for some reason. And Wesley, I suppose, because he was just a little bit older than me. But Riker, I think, kind of having contemplated that a bit, I think he's a bit alpha. Mm. He's a bit of an alpha male, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't, that doesn't, I'm not Alpha, so.
Okay.
Didn't have connection.
He was meant to be exactly. Kind of a Kirk-like character on TNG.
Well, that, I was thinking about that as well. Obviously, they had this amazing trio in Kirk, Spock, and McCoy. Mm-hmm. And they thought, how are we going to replicate that for this new season series? And they came up with something entirely different, mm-hmm. but this still really works. Mm-hmm. So you've got, I suppose you've got Riker, Data, and Picard.
Yeah.
And it's kind of Spock, Kirk, and McCoy kind of jumbled up and redistributed, mm-hmm. isn't it?
Yeah, and I don't think we tend to think of them as a trio like we do Kirk, Spock, and McCoy.
Right, yeah.
No, we don't.
That's interesting. Okay.
Okay, so we're going to go do our wee round robin thing, and we're going to go with Amy first. What is your first pick for your favorite Riker badass moment?
Okay, so first I want to say my thoughts on Riker, because we don't really get to talk about him too much. I love him, well, in part because, you know, he's Troy's...
Imzadi.
but I really like his character, and he's really strong in the first few seasons. And then once, you know, the Picard and Data show took off, he didn't have as many Riker-centered episodes. But I really do like his character and what he brings. And, you know, he's sometimes so hot-headed, which only accentuates Picard's cool levelness, you know? Mm. So it was fun to think about, you know, when is Riker badass? And so the first one, well, I don't know. I have so many, but I'm going to start with Measure of a Man, because mm-hmm. I think that is a very strong part that he plays in the whole courtroom drama scene, because he has to, you know, sort of tell the reasons why Data is property of Starfleet, and he is just this android. And, you know, when he switches Data off, like at the end of his whole thing, I mean, he removes his arm, and then he's like, Pinocchio is broken, its strings have been cut. And I'm just like, that he's seriously badass, because he did his job to the best of his ability. And even though he didn't like it, like, that takes true integrity and character for him to do that, because he knows if he doesn't, then the, what's her name?
Lavoie.
Yeah. Lavoie is just going to unilaterally make the decision against mm-hmm. Data. And so he, I think, really shows his character here. And I mean, and he even uses the word, its strings have been cut. Like, mm-hmm. ooh, that is cold. That is harsh. And to me, very badass.
Yeah, Amy, this was actually on my longer list. I mean, actually, as I was making my list, I was surprised it came up with so many. But I think it's a really great choice for a couple of reasons. I mean, first of all, I think, as we've said on some of these episodes before, badass doesn't mean you're just going in with phasers blazing, you know, blowing away somebody, right? It can be anything that maybe takes a lot of courage or is difficult to do. I think the actual, like, dictionary definition is tough and uncompromising. And I feel like Riker, when he knows that he has to make this case for Data being the property of Starfleet, that he needs to do it in the best way he can. So he does all of the research, and even in his presentation, he is just doing it to the best of his ability. He's really tough about it. He just kind of pulls no punches. And then it's kind of interesting, like, while he's there, he's making this really persuasive, effective case that later Picard says, like, he almost convinced me. And then he sits down and you see him kind of like collapse a little bit.
He slumps
a little bit, and he does his thing where he puts like his hand over his face, like, I can't believe I just did that. But mm-hmm. like in the moment, he's totally and completely focused on that, even if it takes something out of him. So yeah, it's a great pick.
It's a good pick, and I kind of, when I thought of it, I discounted it, because my interpretation of badass was to think that a character's doing something that's like really badass, but that makes you like them more.
Hmm.
Something that's really cool. And Riker doing that, I was just like, no, I think you've sold it to me, Amy. He's doing his duty. and he's doing a really good job at it. Mm-hmm. And you know it must be really, really difficult for him, yeah, because Data's is a really close friend and colleague. So yeah, I like that pick.
Yeah, and the well and the done, other thing, Amy. Like as I think about it, you know, when he says at the end of that presentation, like you said, like Pinocchio is broken, its strings are cut. I don't think about it too much, but it is kind of a callback to Encounter at Farpoint, where,
absolutely,
yeah, where Riker says, like, you know, nice to meet you, Pinocchio, when they're mm-hmm. having this conversation. And, like, he's actually calling back to, like, a moment of introduction and friendship in order to kind of cut away at that in order to make this defense, but at the same time try to, like, preserve what he wants for Data. I mean, I think it's a very complex thing, and he pulls it off, like, perfectly. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It does. Well, that's tough. Justin, what's your first pick?
Yeah, so I guess like both of you all talk about Riker a little bit. So, I mean, I think I've always liked Riker, and I think you're right, for the most part, there is more for him to do early on as opposed to later. But like as I went through it, I found picks in most of the seasons. Mm-hmm. And I think Riker is someone who is a good Starfleet officer, you know, has integrity, is going to do the right thing if he can, is going to do his duty if it's at all possible. And he's a strong and resilient person, which apparently you need in Starfleet because of all the bizarre things that happen to you, right? So that goes a little bit into my first pick. So my first pick is actually from the episode The Host. So this is the first time that we see the Trill, we see O'Dan that has the symbiont doing the negotiations and all of that, but like something happens and he dies and someone needs to take on the symbiont so the negotiations can continue. I just want to read like a little bit of dialogue. So, I mean, Picard is at first saying like, you know, we need O'Dan, the situation's really bad, and Riker kind of suddenly says, Doctor, could a human host carry him? And Crusher says, I believe so. From O'Dan's description of the process, it should be possible, but I don't have. And then Riker cuts her off and says, then I volunteer. Crusher says, there's been no precedent for a human host. I couldn't guarantee what might happen. And Picard says, the risk is too great, Commander. And then Riker says, weigh it against the prospect of war. And Picard says, it's your choice, Will. And Riker says, let's get to it. So, like, this is something he doesn't have to do. Right. But he's thinking like, OK, we're in this situation where war might break out. There might be casualties. People might die. What can I do to contribute? And he, you know, very quickly says, hey, is it possible for a human to do it? If so, I volunteer. Like, I need to do this. It's really important. And I think that's difficult because he doesn't know what the consequences will be. He doesn't know if he'll be permanently injured or he'll die or he won't be able to do the negotiations in the same way. Like, he has never done this, doesn't know how it works. But I think it's very badass of him to be like, no, I'm going to do this. Let's do it. You know, because even if I have to sacrifice myself, it's important so that there's not a war. What do you guys think?
Do you know what he's thinking about that in that moment? He's thinking that what?
No, I think I know where you're going.
No? Go ahead. He's thinking
it's not. A roundabout way to romance Beverly.
No.
Okay. Good.
I was not thinking about that at all, yeah, Justin.
Fine. Mm. Go ahead.
He was thinking that the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few or the Riker.
Oh, boy. But I...
He was?
I am shamed because you were talking about the nobility of sacrifice and I was talking about Riker trying to... Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Needs of the Riker. I've ruined your joke. I'm so sorry.
It's fine. It wasn't a joke. It was a serious point. It was you that was trying to make the joke.
Well, Justin, so that is a really good pick.
Thank you, Amy.
That was, yes, let me round this
Let's
back.
Get more serious. Okay.
But no, that was on my longer list as well. So I'm so glad that you brought that up because I do think it's very important that he like volunteers and he's going to take this risk. Has no idea. We've never had a Trill in a human before. So it's, I think, really awesome. So thank you.
And he doesn't even hesitate. It's not like he's like, let me think about it. He's like, I volunteer. Let's do it.
And he's insistent. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's pretty great.
Cool. So my first pick. Do you know what I was thinking about there? I was wondering if we're going to have the same picks at any point. So far we haven't.
Well, when I do these things, I try to think about the more obvious ones and then I move them later to see if you guys pick them. And then I try to think of ones that might be less obvious. So
I try and think of the ones that Justin and Amy won't think about.
Yeah, we'll see if that works.
Yeah, sometimes it hasn't.
True. So to my first pick, this is from season 3, episode 8, The Price. And Riker, have I picked yours, Amy? No?
Well,
have I?
I've got but yes, go ahead. Okay.
So there's a point in 10 Forward where the human negotiator, Ral, his name is, he comes in and asks if he can join Commander Riker for a drink. And there's a point, Ral's just kind of really obnoxious. I really don't like the man. He says to Commander Riker that basically, where I'm going to win this contract for the Barzan wormhole and I'm going to win Deanna. And Riker responds to him, says, "That's the first bad play I've seen you make. If you can bring happiness into Deanna's life, nothing would please me more. You know, you're really not such a bad sort, Ral, except you don't have any values beyond the value of today's bid. That is, Deanna is just the woman to bring some meaning to your sorry existence. If you're smart enough to take it, I doubt that you are, to the last mile." Riker then finishes the drink and leaves, but leaves the pad there. It's just kind of cutting. He just kind of cut the legs out from under him and just left him there.
I feel like if he had a mic, he'd drop it right there because he just totally
gets
to the core of Ral and who he is and all this kind of slimy way that he does things. It's so perfect.
Yeah, it's macho sliminess, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, and by the way, he's Ral isn't just human, he's part Betazoid, right? Which he does use in the negotiation. But no, that is you know what? Like that it didn't even come up on my list. I didn't think about it, but it's fantastic. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is on my list. So thank you, Joe.
Sorry, Amy.
Yeah, and so that was why I'm wearing my Deanna shirt because I just I love that. You're right. He's negotiating and Ral is trying to goat Riker into making a mistake and trying to take it to a personal level, you know, to try and gain an advantage. So we definitely see where he's going. And so he's using his relationship with Deanna to try and get Riker to make a mistake or to get emotional and to, you know, go off the cuff. And Riker totally, you know, just switches it. And it's like, and again, shows how mature their relationship is and how solid it is. And it's like, you know, basically, I love Deanna. And if this is what's going to make her happy, then I am all for it, which is a badass, awesome move. And he doesn't let Ral get under his skin. He's not falling for the bait and he's going to stay objective at all costs. Yeah. So it is a great moment that was on my pick.
One thing that I was going to say is it's interesting the language Riker uses. That's the first bad play that you've made because it's clear that he's almost been thinking about the whole thing like a poker game.
Well, and they started earlier in the episode with poker.
Yeah. So it's pretty great.
I suppose it is like a game because like negotiations, you want to play your cards close to your chest and not let your adversary see what you've got to offer. I suppose there is a version of that scene on YouTube and there's a really cool comment. Somebody's commented on the scene, the epilogue, 13 years later Riker sends him a wedding invitation, troll level 9000.
Oh god. Yeah, wow. So. That deleted scene from Nemesis where they're making out the invitation, they're like, "I'm going to send one to Ral."
Cool. All the people who don't like.
Love that you're digging through YouTube comments to get analysis. That's pretty cool.
Oh, no, you know what? That's what we do.
That's what you do.
Okay, so round two. We've already had three really good badass Riker moments. And Amy, what is your second pick?
All right. Well, I'm going to go a little more lighthearted. Okay, and total badass Riker, the best ever dating advice when he in the Dolphin is telling Wesley, right, how to pick up a girl, and him and Guinan go through this beautiful exchange. Like Riker, he's the guy to go to for advice. You don't go to Geordi. No. You don't go to Worf. So Wesley finally does get to Riker and goes through. And I just absolutely love it. Do you think I have time to read it?
Yeah.
Yes. What, okay. Will we take shots each? Do you want to be Guinan?
Okay, I will be Guinan.
Okay, and I'll be Riker. Okay. Now, the first words out of your mouth are the most important. You may want to start with something like this. You are the most beautiful woman in the galaxy. But that might not work.
Yes, yes it would.
You don't know how long I've longed to tell you that.
But you were afraid?
Yes.
Of me?
Of us. Of what we might become. Or that you might think it was a line.
Maybe I do think it's a line.
Then you think I'm not sincere?
I didn't say that. There's nothing wrong with a line. It's like knocking at the door.
Then you're inviting me in.
I'm not sending you away.
That's more than I expected.
Is it as much as you hoped?
To hope is to recognize a possibility. I had only dreams.
Dreams can be dangerous.
Not these dreams. I dream of a galaxy where your eyes are the stars and the universe worships the night.
Careful, putting me on a pedestal so high you might not be able to reach me.
Then I'll learn how to fly. You're the heart of my day and the soul in my night.
That's all I need. Oh,
that's amazing.
It is.
Great job, guys. Good job.
Well done.
But I mean, that's just awesome. Riker is so smooth. It's perfect.
So the badass part of it is that he's smooth, or what do you see it as?
Oh, yeah. And that he knows. I mean, some guys just aren't very good at picking up, you know, other people. And so I love that he has this confidence that comes through, you know, and it's totally awesome. It's badass. Oh my gosh.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's really cheesy.
It is.
But it could be. I kind of get.
It could be, but the way that they play it, I don't think is.
Yeah.
I think it's played meant to be cheesy. Like what is it? The universe worships the night. Your eyes are the stars, and I dream of a galaxy, blah, blah, blah.
That's, I think Guinan's really enjoying it. I don't think
yes.
It's...
Yes, tell me more about my eyes. No, it works. It's
yeah,
awesome.
No, it totally does work. Yeah. It's, yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah, very interesting pick. And it was great to just sit back and watch you guys read it.
Enjoy the performance. Nice. Okay, Justin, what is your second pick?
Okay, so for my second pick... I mean, maybe there's a theme developing here in my pick so far, but it's from the episode Schisms. So in this episode, which is with the click, click, click aliens, so, you know, Riker is being taken from his bed a lot of nights and he's losing sleep. He's also had his arm severed and reattached during the night.
Yep.
But these aliens are trying to get into, you know, our universe or the Enterprise's realm, and they have to do something about it. And basically, you know, there's this discussion about what to do about it. I think that actually Worf ends up coming up with the idea of like a homing device to find out where it is in subspace. So let me read a little bit. So LaForge says, "That's a good idea, but there's no way to get that device to the source." Riker says, "Yes, there is. Give it to me. They've taken me for the last few nights. If I'm right, the same thing will happen tonight." And then LaForge explains how it'll work when they send him back. And then Troy says, if they send him back, Ensign Rager still hasn't been returned. And Riker says, they're going to take me whether I want to go or not. So it's another one of those things where there's danger. I mean, not only that, but like they've already done something horrific to him. And he says, like, you know, they're going to take me anyway. But he's taking this big risk. I mean, and also... before he goes to sleep and then he wakes up and he's like, oh man, I'm really tired. But in this case, like he's awake as he's like being pulled through this portal, right? And then he has to be in this weird realm. He doesn't know what the aliens can do. He has to pretend to be asleep or unconscious. And then he rescues himself and Rager. I mean, I think it's like a super badass thing that he is basically been mistreated by these aliens, but he's like, let me go ahead and do it. I'm the best person to do it because they seem to want to take me. By the way, like, why do they want to keep taking Riker, right? Like, I don't know. There's something a little weird about that. But
well, they kept taking all of them.
Night after night? I don't know. Mm-hmm. Maybe. But he seems more tired than most. but yeah, I just love it that, again, he's just volunteering for something that's really dangerous but is going to be of benefit not only to the ship but, you know, maybe the whole Quadrant or the whole Federation because these aliens might be really dangerous. So I think it's pretty great.
Like you said, that's very similar to your previous example because there's a there's badassery in his selflessness. Mm-hmm. He's doing it for the good of the crew to save them from being abducted. And that is an amazing Halloween episode. It's so creepy and gives me the chills.
Really yeah, is. I love how insistent he is. And it's like, you know, and he lays out an argument as to why he's the best choice. They're going to take me and I can do this. And yeah, definitely badass.
Cool. So to my second pick, and I can't really decide, can I go with season 5, episode 17, which is The Outcast?
Okay.
Okay.
Yes. And there's a bunch of points throughout the episode that kind of really kind of almost resonated with me, kind of struck a nerve. And it's like, it's different from what I said at the beginning where Riker's very alpha. I don't think his alphaness is kind of diminished in this episode because he's fallen in love with an androgynous species. It's not the typical woman that Riker would normally go for because he's the Kirk of TNG. I suppose so.
Oh no, I was going to say, would you call them androgynous or genderless?
I suppose they've got androgynous features, haven't they? Mm-hmm. And they are, what are they? They are genderless, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
So I suppose they're a bit both. They kind of
interesting. Just curious.
Don't really confirm. Yeah. Yeah, I suppose either word fit. Well, I suppose both words fit. And I like I think I like the fact that I don't know if it's particularly badass, but the way he fights for the character whose name is
Sorin.
But not the Sorin from Generations.
Not the Sorin. Different spelling as well.
Yeah.
And there's a bit in the courtyard at the end where he's beamed down with Worf to try and rescue her from having horrible psychotactic treatments, I think it is they call it.
Yeah.
And he gets her and says, wait. She says, wait. And he's like, don't worry, we'll be out here in a minute. And Sorin says, oh, please don't. And it turns out that she's already had the treatments and she doesn't want to go because she's been converted into what is normal for her species, which is really sad. And he's kind of broken up about it. And the fact that he's going against orders not to, it's kind of going against the prime directive not to interfere. It's for the good of this one person.
Yeah, this is where this is not following the good of the many.
No.
Yeah, because he really gets emotional and he's breaking, like you said, prime directive and direct orders. And yeah, that takes some badassery to do that and to go against because we know how loyal and, you know, he is to Picard and believes in the prime directive and Starfleet and everything. And so to go against it, he definitely had to feel that passionately about it. So, great pick.
Because he saw the injustice in the situation. Mm-hmm. He thought, this isn't right. I have to do something about it.
Yeah, I mean, I do think it's a good pick. Although sometimes when I watch the episode, I wonder, like, what was Riker's plan after that? Was it that Sorin would request asylum and that they'd have to take her because of that, maybe? I don't know. They don't really get into it. But, yeah, I think it is a really interesting contrast where I think he's thinking about two things. He's thinking about, I love this person and I don't want to see them hurt. And like, he's thinking about that person, like, this is an injustice. It's not right that this society is doing this to a person. But of course it gets into some difficult, you know, questions, which is, that's how their society operates. And in Starfleet, you're supposed to not interfere in that. But what happens if you see something that's an injustice? I mean, effectively before, Sorin was saying, like, this isn't right, and you know, maybe suggesting that she wanted out of it. It's a very thought-provoking episode for sure, and it's interesting. I hadn't really thought of, you've picked two so far that I hadn't really thought about at all. Good job, Joe.
Well, thank you. I think maybe the reason it resonated for me was because, like, as a gay man, gay conversion therapies are still used in countries around the world, and there's still places in Western society. Are people in Western society that would still like them to be used because they think homosexuality is entirely wrong and unholy, I suppose.
Definitely. And I think the episode was meant to, in a certain way, talk about that, right?
Mm-hmm.
In the way, I guess, that they could at the time. Yeah.
Round 3. Amy, your third pick, please.
Okay. So for my final pick, I'm going to choose the Pegasus, but there's for two different reasons. So What I found was pretty darn badass was in the Pegasus, we learn that when Riker is, you know, under Captain Pressman, and there is a mutiny on the ship, and Riker stands up and supports Pressman. Like, even though everyone's, you know, trying to mutiny and going against Pressman, like, he is loyal and true. And he even says, you know, it's like, I had this idea of duty, loyalty, honor, obedience ringing in his ears because he was just fresh out of the academy. And so he has all of these ideas. And so he is sticking with Pressman no matter what. And so I think that takes a lot of courage to stand up to a crew that wants to, you know, mutiny and go against the captain. So I really appreciate it for that. Then on the flip side, he is absolutely badass when he does recognize his mistake in supporting Pressman and, you know, trying to support getting this cloaking device, basically. And he realizes his error and, you know, goes to Picard and makes that leap of faith in Picard that Picard's going to, you know, be with him and understand the situation. And he, again, is insistent that he gets taken into custody and appears before the Board of Inquiries because he knows what his part was originally. And I just think both of those, you know, when he was younger and now when he's older and more seasoned, that he is totally badass in sticking up for what he believes in and trying to do what is right. So I have the Pegasus for that.
That's a really good pick, Amy. Mm. He's put in a really, really, really difficult position, isn't he? He's got this order from an admiral like this. He's essentially signed a non-disclosure agreement, yeah, never to speak about them, the details of what happened. And then his beloved Captain Picard is basically giving him an ultimatum. And I've always found it really interesting that these conversations always take place in the captain's quarters. So it feels like more, it's like off the book. Like, you have to tell me. It won't go any further unless it has to. But I really need to know.
Yeah, it's a great pick. And it sounds like it's kind of like, initially, even in supporting Pressman, he was kind of badass, but then turning against him, he was as well, which I think I hadn't really thought about it that way. I think that's really great. And yeah, he's putting his career on the line and he's like, well, this is what he's doing. And there's a piece of technology on this ship. And it's like, you ended your career. It's like, well, you know, it's the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. So yeah, he's put in a really tough situation between someone who's a higher ranking officer and has to do with a secretive thing and his commanding officer. And he finds a way at the right time, I think, to resolve it. So yeah, that's a great pick.
I suppose if he didn't do what he did back then on the Pegasus, he might not still be alive because he would be kind of embedded in an asteroid somewhere.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Or that happens. Well, let me think about this. Would that have happened before or after he was split into Thomas Riker and Will Riker?
Oh, I don't know.
I'm not sure. I was just trying to think, even if Will Riker was embedded there, would Thomas Riker have still been around?
So I would say this happened before, because when the Thomas thing was on the hood, which came after Pressman, because this was just right after his Starfleet Academy.
So you're right. He would have been gone and we would have never heard of him. If that was the case, it would have been someone else who was on the Pegasus, Commander Johnson or something. I don't know. Somebody
or
else.
maybe there would have been nobody to support Pressman, and the crew would have mutinied and the events of the Pegasus would never have happened and it would never have been lost, possibly. And they would have been caught for trying to use a phase cloaking device on a Federation starship.
And then we wouldn't have these or the Voyages, and Enterprise wouldn't have their wonderful last season.
Amy, you've stolen my thunder. That was my third pick, was These Are the Voyages.
Really?
No, not really. But when we got to my third pick, I was going to make a joke that it was from These Are the Voyages. It's so badass that he's the chef on the holodeck and he resolves the thing in the Pegasus, but you stole my... That's fine. Right. I can't pick These Are the Voyages. Okay.
You're not allowed. Okay, so Justin, your third and final pick, please. make it a good one.
Okay. Yeah, I was thinking about it. It's funny that we mentioned these are the Voyages, because I also thought, like, he's in Voyager too. He's in Death Wish, but that's not really badass, him just coming and giving some testimony and forgetting about stuff. But I had left some back that I was thinking, like, these are picks that people would really think about. And now I'm trying to think which one that I should choose, because they're both really good. Really good. Okay. I think it's going to have to be from the season one episode, Conspiracy.
Mm.
Because toward mm-hmm. the end of that episode, I just love it so much that you know, you see, I think at some point you see Riker, he's in sick bay because this this admiral who's been taken over by this parasite has kind of beaten him up. And it makes you think the first time you see the episode that he's been taken over by a parasite. And then I think, you know, he beams down and I just want to read some of this because I think it's just so great how Riker plays this. So, you know, when Riker comes in and there's this banquet and, you know, he knows that there's something wrong with these people, Picard says, "Riker, thank God, we're leaving." And Riker says, "You're not going anywhere. You'll be one of us soon." And then another character says, "You were meant for the doctor." And Riker says, "It couldn't be helped. Riker walked in on us unexpectedly," which is kind of what you're led to believe before. And he just does it like so convincingly. And you're thinking, like, oh, did he get taken over? What's happening? What's going on? And it just kind of, it keeps going on for a little while where he's, you know, pretending that he's one of them. And Picard's asking, like, what race are you? And, you know, Riker saying, "You'll understand soon, Picard." Like, he's playing, like, Jonathan Frakes is the actor and Riker is the character, is really playing it well to try to convince them of this. And, you know, basically it comes down to they have these worms that they're eating and, you know, they're telling him to eat them and he just takes a handful and he's like, "Oh, should I eat them?" And then he brings out his phaser and just starts stunning them and it leads to the end. So there's just something about that where he just kind of hatches this plan, or maybe hatches it with Crusher, but to be able to really convincingly make it seem like he's taken over in order to take them by surprise and help to win the day. So that was actually the first one that came to mind when I was thinking about this topic.
That's a really good pick, Justin. There, if you watch the fight scene between the Admiral yeah. and Riker in the Admiral's quarters,
yep.
it's really obvious that it's a stunt double yep. playing Riker.
Yep.
Like, the high kick.
That is that. Yes, it's even just it doesn't look anything like him.
You know what? You're right. But that fight scene is one of my favorite things in Star Trek because I think it is the only time because I think what happens is Geordi comes in and, you know, the Admiral like kicks him or something and he like falls through the doors and the doors just like completely collapse outside into the corridor. And there's just something about that that's like, whoa, this guy is super strong, but also like, did they expect that would happen or whatever? So, but yeah, like that scene is, and also there are some scenes in other episodes where you see, you know, Picard is punching somebody and if you look really quickly, it's clear it's a mm-hmm. stunt double, but I kind of love that. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's also the episode where we get to see Remick's head explode.
It is that one. Conspiracy is the episode that if people think that more recent Star Trek is like taking things too far, look at what Conspiracy was doing in like 1988. That's crazy. And it made it on and it's probably gorier than, you know, 99% of the rest of Star Trek. But anyway, but yeah, it's such a different episode, but it's a great episode. And I know, Amy, we had a whole episode where we talked about it.
Yeah. So that is a really good pick, Justin. And I like that you bring up like Riker really plays it very well because you are guessing, you know, it's like, is Riker under this control? You know, what's happening? And when you were talking, it reminded me of Gambit. And when Riker gets beamed aboard and sees Picard, man, he has to just play it cool and, you know, sort of go along with what's going on there. And so he's a great actor to go along with the flow and yeah, great pick.
And he is. And like the crazy thing is Patrick Stewart, of course, is an amazing actor, but Picard, the character, is not as good of an actor as Riker, the character, because yes. in Gambit also like Picard is like really kind of overplaying it, which I kind of love, but like Jonathan Frakes playing Riker, and I think it's written that way sometimes, is like better at being an actor and like keeping them guessing than Picard as a character actually is. Mm-hmm. And I think Patrick Stewart kind of plays it that way. Yeah. What do you think?
I totally don't understand what you mean.
So what I mean is, like, if you just go in universe and think about Riker and Picard in situations mm-hmm. where they have to act in a way that isn't like actually the way they do, like they're acting a part.
Yeah, Riker is Picard actually more is convincing. Being Galen, yeah. You know, and so he's
Riker
acting.
Is actually more convincing yeah. than Picard as another character.
Playing the part, okay, I get you. Yeah. It's that poker thing, isn't it?
Yes.
He's got a really good poker face.
Yes.
He can play it
but I just think it's
needed.
I think it's funny because I think Jonathan Frakes is a great actor, but Patrick Stewart is like on this other level. But as the characters, it's like it kind of mm-hmm. it shifts a little bit.
I get yeah. you. I think Picard is very fixed in a lot of ways mm-hmm. in terms of the character of Picard, which maybe doesn't allow him to kind of venture out and be other people.
Yeah. There's a thought.
Interesting. I like it. So, my last pick. I think I have to go with season 2, episode 8, which is A Matter of Honor.
Yes. Okay, good.
Oh, cool. Which is where Kern, they do the Klingon officer exchange program, and Riker goes over to the Pach, the Klingon ship, and Kern comes across to the Enterprise for a little swap. So there's two points where Riker's pretty cool, where he's in 10 forward,
Joe,
first off.
Yes. That's a different episode where Kern comes over. Right?
I don't know what my turn.
No, A Matter of Honor is just Riker going to the Klingon ship.
Yeah.
And Kern comes over.
Oh,
and,
yeah. Okay. Yeah. Right.
He's
okay. I'm going to start
officer.
That again. They
it's
do
kind
of
part
the first
two.
Part of the exchange. It is. Yeah, they do the first part of the exchange. Then later on,
yes.
they do the second part of the exchange. Yeah. Oh, right. Okay. I've just mashed them up to one
That's
episode.
Okay. We'll call it okay. A Matter of Sins of the Father.
Okay. A Matter of Sins of the Honorable Father.
Right. There you go.
Okay. So, yeah, this Matter of Honor, my pick was.
I'm sorry, I've totally flustered you.
I know. No, it's fine. It's fine. I've got it. So the first bit is where Riker's preparing to go over and he's in 10 yeah. forward and he's sampling all the Klingon delicacies. And you can recognize some of them. There's some octopus tentacles and other delicacies. But he's got like Pippius Claw and he's got Heart of Targ and he's got gach and he's relishing
yeah.
the experience of tasting all these Klingon things in preparation because he's a consummate professional and he wants to do a really good job when he goes over to the Klingon ship. So there's something very badass about just kind of taking the challenge on board
yeah.
and trying all these things which would turn any normal human's stomachs normally.
Yeah, you know what's funny about that is like when he's in 10 forward, he's totally relishing it and he's totally into it. But then when he's on the Klingon ship in the mess hall, he's much more subdued about it, right? We would have expected that he would have been like, you know, in the same way, but he's much more subdued.
Is he?
Yeah, I think that he is. And even he, I don't know, maybe he's feigning it, but he's kind of like, I don't know about some of this stuff in one of the scenes, but he's totally relishing it. On the Enterprise.
Maybe it's fresh, like Federation replicated stuff that's not been lying in a barrel for
not actually
3 years so.
Or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
True.
But I love that. And the there. Whole everything that he does in that episode when he's on the Klingon ship is pretty great.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I'm taking away your points.
No, it's all right. Then there's a bit where he's on the Klingon ship and the Klingon captain Kargan wants details of how to beat the Enterprise because he's got it in his head that the Enterprise has damaged the Pach in some way and he wants to get their own back. So he basically asks Riker, you've made an oath to me. Tell me how to attack the Enterprise. And Riker says, I won't. And he was like, it's a matter of honor. You must be loyal to your oath. Riker says, I will not surrender the secrets of the Enterprise. I will not break any vow I have taken in the past. I have also taken an oath of loyalty to your ship, and I will not break that either. Kargan says, they are in conflict. And Riker says, no, Sir, they are not. I will obey your orders. I will serve this ship as first officer, and then in an attack against the Enterprise, I will die along with this crew, but I will not break my oath of loyalty to Starfleet. Which is kind of, he's found a way to justify following both oaths without breaking either of them, which I think is pretty badass.
For sure, yeah.
It is. That's,
so those are my 2 points.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, Joe, that's really good. And I'm just going to tag on because I had this as my honorable mention. But when he's in the Klingon mess hall and, you know, talking and they're exchanging food and stuff, and the women are like eyeballing him, and it's like the one Klingon guy is like, well, they're curious how you would endure. And so Riker just totally doesn't even back down. It's like, one or both. I mean, come on. I love that. That's a badass, you know, you can't intimidate me. I'm going to, you know, stand up and take all that you got and give it right back. So, yeah.
And he makes them laugh, which is something I think that doesn't tend to be appreciated. Maybe even before this episode, like, well, okay, Day of the Dove, they laugh, but whatever, it's under the influence. But yeah, like he knows that for this situation, if he makes them laugh, they'll trust him more and accept him more. So it really works. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of real. Riker's really good at one-upmanship. Mm-hmm. He's like, okay, is that what you're serving me? I'm going to serve one higher because I am that good because I am Riker.
Yeah, that's good.
I am the Riker. Yeah.
Indeed. That was a good 3 rounds in that we only had one double pick. I think that was awesome, guys. Thank you for that. We will have some honorable mentions just now.
Yes,
Amy, do you have any honorable mentions you would like to
mention? So the one that I have, best of both worlds, fire. That's the ultimate badass Riker moment. He is willing to lose Picard. He is willing to fire on the Borg cube. Like, that is the ultimate badass Riker.
Yeah.
You're right. Mm. I had that as well. Good choice. Justin, do you have one?
I have more than one, so I might go through them quickly.
Go for
but
it.
But it's interesting you mentioned that because, Amy, I had one from Best of Both Worlds Part 2. Because, you know, he's having such difficulty in that episode. You know, Picard is gone. He's a Borg. You know, what do I do? And he has this talk with Guinan where she ends up saying, you know, we'll throw the book out, you know. And then shortly after that, he comes up with this amazing rescue plan that has to do with, I guess, a couple of different things. The saucer separation and the antimatter charges or whatever they are. And then I think it's Worf and Data in the shuttlecraft while they're being distracted. So he comes up with a great plan in order to rescue Picard. So I actually, funny enough, thought of Best of Both Worlds Part 2 before Part 1. But you're right, Amy. That is like the ultimate Riker moment. Like, if I have to, I love him, but I'm going to kill Picard if needed.
Yeah.
A couple other that I had, one is from Peak Performance, which is where they're doing the war games. And I love that he has this like broken down ship, and like he is known for being the one who does unusual tactics. Mm-hmm. I think the only reason I didn't actually put it on my list was it's mostly, I think, because he kind of inspires this element of like, oh, let's Wesley goes over and maybe cheats a little bit. And, you know, there are some other things that they're doing as tricks, like Worf using his security codes and stuff like that. But there's something about it that's very badass, like his leadership style. Also, another one on my list was... Go ahead.
Justin, could I pick you up on that? I don't think that's cheating. I think they used their skills to their advantage.
It's a strategy exercise.
Wes, you cheated. And then he was like, well, you know.
I don't think...
But.
And I don't think he did, because it's a strategy. You're going to use everything in your arsenal. And if that means going over to the Enterprise to steal something so that
Which
you can
win.
Which
was against the rules. Yeah.
So,
and he did it knowingly.
So Joe,
and he did it, you know, as a guise.
Joe, if one of your students found a strategy to get the answers, you would call it cheating, right?
Thank you.
Found a strategy to get this. It's interesting. Is that a strategy or is that...
Well, you're calling what Wesley did a strategy.
I think in war games, our different to setting a test.
That's okay. I'll give you that.
There you go, students. It's not the same.
Still cheating. Don't do it. Yeah.
So another, let me go through a few other quick ones. So another one was Future Imperfect. I just kind of like how he's in this weird situation and he's able to put together the pieces and figure it out, even though there's like a couple different levels there. So I like that. And it didn't quite make it on my main list because the kind of child alien who's doing this is kind of slips up a little bit. But I still like how he puts everything together. I mean, one that definitely could have made it my top three is Frame of Mind. I mean, he goes through so much, but he makes it through to the other side, which is really badass. So I thought of like the whole episode for that. So there's some honorable mentions.
Cool. I had a Future Imperfect as well. I like the little scene with the alien or Ethan at the very end. And Riker says, Ethan says, "My name is Barash." And Riker says, "To me, you'll always be Jean-Luc."
Yeah. Mm.
Then they beam up to the Enterprise and he rescues him from being on that lonely planet.
That's nice. What happens to Barash afterwards?
It's in a novel.
I don't know if it is.
Ugh. Okay.
At least not I've read.
True. There's quite a few of them. Yeah. So the only honorable mention that I really have left is in Nemesis, which I rewatched last week, where he fights the Riemann Viceroy.
Mm.
I think Riker has met his hand-to-hand combat match at that point because there's fear in his face. He thinks he's going to die. And I figure if they filmed Nemesis now, Riker would have died because it would have been a really good juxtaposition with he's just got married to Troy and then Troy's lost her new husband.
Mm.
And instead of Data being dead, and it was a bit of a cop-out, Data dies, then they've still got before an actual character, a loved character.
Riker dies, they've still got Thomas Riker.
No, Thomas Riker's, I'm sure, dead, unless it's been in a novel.
It has, and he's still alive.
Because he went to the Maquis and then the Dominion wiped out the Maquis, didn't they?
Yeah, but at least Zadi in the novels, he's still alive.
Yep.
Ugh. Okay.
Look at me throwing out a book reference.
We didn't know you could read.
Hey.
Oh, boy.
I was kidding on. Mm-hmm. It was an audiobook.
So from... Maybe I wasn't following because I was thinking about it. So from Nemesis, you're saying...
Oh, sorry. Just the whole fight scene with the Viceroy
is
kind of vicious. He gets slashed across the kind of the torso, doesn't he? And that's when you see the fear in his face, and he's fighting for his life because Riemanns were used as shock troops in the Dominion War against the Federation, and they're just pretty vicious, bigger, stronger, badder people. Okay. And he's doing everything, and then they get stuck on that bridge, the walkway over the over the big long tunnel with a light at the end, and then the Viceroy falls to his death.
That's an interesting pick because, you know, I love Nemesis, but that is the one part of the show that I think is the weakest. And I did think about that because he is fighting the Viceroy and it's, you know, mano y mano. But I didn't put it. So good job for bringing it up. Good pick.
Thank you.
It's a great pick. By the way, just circling back around, Barash has been in some novels. But the main one, I guess, that he's in, I just haven't read yet. It's a TNG novel called Losing the Peace. Haven't quite gotten there yet, but interesting. I will find out shortly.
Do it. Real quick, final thoughts, please, people. Go, Amy.
All right. This was so much.
Okay, thank you, Justin.
This was so much fun, and I love that we all have different choices and different reasons for, you know, choosing like him being, you know, I'm going to save the many versus the one or the few, and him making the sacrifice and him being flirty and fun. And it was really fun thinking about Riker because we just don't do it enough. So good job.
Justin?
Yeah, I agree, Amy. I don't think we talk about Riker enough. I think he's a great character. It's exciting that we'll see him on Picard, maybe making some new badass moments. But it was really great. Like, as I thought about it, I was like, oh, I wonder if I'll just pick some obvious ones, but I don't think any of the ones I had were duplicates. And I think there are a lot of like you were saying, Amy, circumstances where he's being selfless or willing to sacrifice himself. It was interesting that Joe picked a moment that was more about one person. So he can think about like the broader whole, but he can also think about the individual and their needs and what they need, which is what he did for Data as well. In The Measure of a Man, he was thinking about Data as the individual, but also if there's a whole race of Datas, what that might be like, I think. Maybe Picard was more thinking about that. But anyway, he can think about it in a lot of different ways. And
yeah,
it just made me appreciate more. And we were talking about, you know, sometimes there are things where he's fighting or deception or acting or whatever. So I think he has quite a bit of range. And, you know, as much as I do love what we see in The Next Generation for, you know, Picard and Data especially, it would have been nice to have a little bit more for Riker because he's a great character.
I think one thing about TNG is there's so much of it. And I think that's why we all found it really easy to pick our favourite moments. And while at the time Riker didn't really kind of strike a nerve with me, you guys have done a really good job of explaining why he's such a badass character and picking some really good details out. TNG did a really good job of fleshing out fully formed characters and giving us lots to talk about. So yeah, that was good fun. Thank you. Justin, I feel like we need a drum roll for this next bit.
Build it up too much. But we are excited that next week we will bring you our 300th episode of Earl Grey. So there was an idea I came up with, which is, what would it have been like if TNG continued past 7 seasons all the way to season 12, episode 20, which would be the 300th episode of The Next Generation? So I think we're going to think about some ideas in the next week and see what we can come up with. I think this is the first time the three of us have tried to write an episode, so we'll see what it's like. Maybe the first time Amy's tried to write an episode.
I'm very, very scared.
Oh, it'll be fine. I did it once before with Brenda Shamatala and Star Trek author Una McCormack when we rewrote Shades of Grey. That was a lot of fun. But I don't know if I've done it since. So anyway, think about, listeners, what you might have wanted if there was a 300th episode of The Next Generation. And that would have been, I'm just approximating here, but I think it would have come out in March of 1999. So it would just be interesting to think about like TNG continuing and what that would have been like. So I think we're going to have fun. What do you guys think?
I think the episode opens, it fades from black on the main bridge and the turbo lift doors open. And like an elderly Captain Jean-Luc Picard with his Zimmer frame kind of takes 20 minutes to get to his captain's chair. And then the next scene happens.
Mm. Joe, it's not taking place that far in the future, okay?
I went for the comedy aspect.
I thought you were going to say like it opens and, you know, Picard's been on the Enterprise for 25 years and needs to write a mistake that happened 25 years before. I don't know.
No, you know me. I'm going to go for the comedy.
Okay, so it'll be hilariously dramatic. But anyway, I think we're looking forward to it.
Well, it's been so much fun talking about our favorite badass Riker moments, but that isn't the only thing we've been talking about here on the network. Here is what you might have missed elsewhere on Trek FM.
Previously on Trek.fm, Earl Grey.
But good discussion. Like, I love, you know, talking about the science. And Joe, I love that you bring it up. Justin.
I need to stop reading it. I'm sorry.
I'm doing my final thoughts.
Close
and
the
you're
window,
all
Justin.
Laughing over me.
Joe, you need to keep all of this in.
This is an intervention, Justin.
Okay.
Close the window.
Oh my gosh.
Literary Treks.
I talked to Bob Klein, who I had interviewed for Saturday Morning Trek, and he's like, yeah, come on over. Let's go look through my garage and see what we find. I'm like, okay. So I drive over there, and I was greeted to two, you know, those fold-out tables that you have for, like, picnics? Two of those end-to-end with, like, three boxes, larger than files boxes, and, like, moving boxes size, and just papers and folders that all had Filmation on it just brought out.
Standard Orbit.
I bought it when it first came out. I played it for like 2 or 3 days and I went, what is going on? Am I missing something? Is just I'm not a good player. So, and then I checked on the reviews online and everyone agreed that it was not a good game. And we were all correct.
And introducing our newest show, The Line.
a Star Trek Picard podcast.
I'm so honored that I was chosen to pick Picard. And as a Next Generation fan, I mean, he was one of my favorite characters. And so I wanted to, and I know how he is extra special to lots of Star Trek fans beyond even just being the character he played on the series. And so I really felt a huge responsibility to try to give the fans something that was enjoyable but honored who he was, even though it was staying true to the fact that he is 20 years older.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
Check out all these shows and join the conversation about your favorite corner of the Star Trek universe and beyond. You'll find us wherever you get your podcasts. If you're an Apple user, be sure to hit the subscribe button in Apple Podcasts on iPhone, iPad, or Apple TV, or the desktop Apple Podcasts app to get the latest episodes as soon as they're published. And please leave us a star rating and written review. That helps others to find the show, and we'll read your review on the show.
If you're not an Apple user, we've got you covered as well. You can find our shows on Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spreaker, SoundCloud, YouTube, in most third-party apps, and you can stream and download the MP3 file from our website or grab the RSS link.
We'd love to hear your thoughts on today's show, and there are many ways for you to do that. The best place to join in the larger conversation is the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Just type Babel, B-A-B-E-L, into the search field on Facebook, and it should come right up.
All right, guys, so should we do what we promised to do at the top of the show to read this crazy AI-written Next Generation script?
Yes.
Let's do it.
So I guess I should explain, Joe, you were nice enough to break this down into the characters that we'll be playing. So do you want to let our listeners know who we'll be doing?
Okay. So Botnik Studios presents Star Trek The Next Generation, episode 279, Here's Looking at Q. Joe Keegan as Captain Jean-Luc Picard and the narrator. Justin Ozer as Q. Commander William Riker. Wesley Crusher and Commander Geordi LaForge. Amy Nelson as Lieutenant Commander Worf. Lieutenant Commander Deanna Troi. Chief Medical Officer Dr. Beverly Crusher. The Enterprise Computer and Lieutenant Commander Data. Opening shot, the Enterprise heavily damaged, in orbit around a family restaurant. Captain's log, stardate 48213.7. We have been involved in a damp and terrible battle. However, today is my birthday in space, so I'm going to have an elaborate cat food dinner with my friend Worf. Dining room of the family restaurant. Mr. Worf, I appreciate this present of clothes for my birthday, but as I am a boy, I need my toys.
Worf. You have disgraced my father with your words.
Q falls out of the ceiling wearing cargo pants.
Q, the time for me is here.
Q, I see you have a concussion.
I am immortal, Picard. I have hurt my head a very big number of time.
Q takes a bite of his hand and then turns into a tractor.
Tractor. I lost it already. Okay, tractor. This is from the past.
Fade out. Opening credits. Space. What is the point of it? You have no idea. This is the Enterprise. A big circle with a porch. I'm the Captain Picard. Come with me. The Enterprise zips and zaps at the screen for 2 hours. The bridge. Data enters carrying a large dessert, which he throws at the view screen.
Riker, don't tell me what to eat, Lieutenant.
Making a mess is not a crime, but what if it was?
Data, is that a human metaphor, or would you please stop speaking with human feelings?
Heavy German breathing is heard over the loudspeakers.
Are you going to do the heavy I apologize to all of Germany for what Joe just did.
Yes. Okay.
Riker, it's the Borg.
Data, I do not believe that is correct.
Riker, you think I need your help, Mr. Data? I'm the first officer to ever convince a planet to explode, and I look forward to doing it again.
Data. Jack Membrane. Okay. Data, Jack Membrane is my name now. If you call me Data, I will perform a self-replicating dance until this ship is full of me.
Riker nods and carefully takes a tiny piece of cake. Another Data enters carrying a swirling green casserole. We're in engineering now. Troy enters from a vent and starts singing to Geordi.
Geordi, you seem angry with me. Is it because of the nightmares I forced you to have?
I wondered if you'd sing. Maybe LaForge should sing too. LaForge, nope. Just finishing up a modified laser scanner to give to my friend. He is the size of a particle, but he's still a pretty good person.
Troy looks down at her empty stomach.
Let me do this part. I'm going to act it.
Okay. Troy looks down at her empty stomach and frowns telepathically.
Oh, I wish.
Listeners, could. You couldn't see it, but I did that.
Oh, okay.
LaForge, computer, locate a big thing of chips.
Computer, quarters of Commander Riker, deck 50.
LaForge, we can beam them over here to engineering and take samples. Then we could give them to the holodeck to make them into electricity like the computer wants.
Affirmative.
Sickbay. Riker looks like he's fancy but unstable.
Riker, everything in sickbay is not good.
Dr. Crusher, Riker, have you seen my son? My instinct is he's going through body changes, and I need to help him adjust his uniform.
Wesley decides to roll up with a couple of gorgeous crew members.
Wesley, my mom is a real pain in the rocks, I tell you what. Congratulations to the people who don't know her.
Dr. Crusher, I should inject you with respect. Can I do that?
Ensign Crusher, you need to make sure that I do fun drugs at parties. No one is going to listen to me if I don't know what's going down. Wesley, here, sir, is a serotonin coordinating sensor you could use to get bored all the time.
Riker turns it on and looks like fettuccine. Beverly smiles at the stars. They are never sick.
Oh.
Back to the holodeck. Troy and Geordi enter the holodeck with chips and suspicion.
Okay, LaForge, I don't know how to make this be on.
The holodeck becomes intensely Hawaiian. Security bears enter. They look good.
Troy, enjoy the bland taste. Computer, we are going to leave. Computer, negative.
Geordi screams and screams. Back to the bridge.
Sorry.
And then we go back to the bridge.
Amy?
Oh, sorry. This is Data. Sir, the Enterprise is emitting low levels of Starfleet graduates. We should try to find attractive friends.
Worf, kindly get to the surface immediately.
Riker, sir, are you sure Worf wants to negotiate with the colony's office? Isn't he kind of inherently dangerous?
You have disgraced my father with your words.
Worf is kind and capable of dealing with anything that may arise anywhere at any time, except me. Worf is the captain of my heart, and you know I support him. Who would you have sent?
Are you okay, Captain? Riker, I want someone who parties hard and knows when to fight a Klingon. I want someone with 15 pieces of metal in their face that would satisfy everyone who might rob us. Someone named William Riker of the USS Enterprise, who's apparently become Borg.
Out of the darkness appears Q. He is clearly surprising.
Q, I have presented myself. Which humans did I interrupt now? Ah, the redoubtable head of the ship, you!
I don't want you to interfere with my life, mister.
I am the universe. How do you like this?
Suddenly there are gasps from the bridge and then impact. Wham! All the sound is coming from the explosion. Data is almost frenzied with a tricorder and scans his head and body for orders. Riker stares at his feet.
Worf, Captain, he has dropped a big scissors on us.
Close up on Picard's frustrated forehead. This is now my chief concern. Fade out.
To be continued.
That was amazing. Indeed.
My head hurts again, guys.
Oh my gosh.
That was pretty. We nailed that.
We did nail it. Yes.
Hashtag nailed it.
Yeah, and I only lost it a couple times.
I was the most professional, though.
You were, but you still laughed.
I did laugh. It was your fault. It was the laughter in my ears. Too much laughter.
And I'm sorry, I didn't get to see your expressions. Did I startle you with Jordy screaming?
Yes.
I am so sorry. Any listeners who have punctured your eardrums with Jordy screaming, I really apologize. And I'll get you a big thing of chips. Okay.
I've got a big thing of chips in the kitchen. I'm going to have it later. It's hashtag big thing of chips thing.
Oh, my God.
That was right, great. Guys. Good idea, yeah. Guys.
We still have more to do, I guess. Okay. So if you'd like to send us an email, you can use the form on our website at trek.fm/contact. Choose to send to a show and select Earl Grey. That will come right to us, and we might read your email on the show. You can also find the network on Twitter at TrekFM and on Facebook at facebook.com/TrekFM. So, Joe, where can people contact you when you're not commanding a big circle with a porch?
Well, you know, I like to do that all the time. but when I'm not doing that, it's got what are they called? The swingy chairs? The rocking chairs?
Rocking chairs.
Rocking chairs.
Rocking chairs, yes. Don't know why I couldn't get that name.
Swinging chairs.
Swing chairs, yes. When I'm not doing that, you can get me on Twitter at JoeyJoe77UK. You can find me on the Babel Conference, or you can email me, joepodcasts@gmail.com. So, Amy, where can people contact you when you're not fighting Riemann's and Jeffrey's tubes?
Well, when I'm not doing that, you can find me here on the network hosting The Edge. Is that the one I do? Yeah.
You've forgotten.
No, because I get it confused with The Line. Okay. You can find me here on the network where I host The Edge with my good friend Patrick Devlin, where we talk about Star Trek Discovery. You can find me on Twitter at Miss Amy Nelson, and you can find me there in the Babel Conference. So, Justin, where can people contact you when you're not hosting a trill?
Oh, you know, I have actually thought about this. I think the trill are such a fascinating species, and I'm simultaneously fascinated and terrified to think of what it would be like to have this symbiont that has all the memories, and then to think every moment, everything you do, if the symbiont survives, someone else is going to access like your most private stuff. That would be weird, right?
Although, can I pull Amy up? That's a little bit rude, though. Justin just had a big lunch.
You're funny.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you can find me elsewhere on the network co-hosting The Line. That's our podcast about Star Trek Picard. Very excited to be bringing you content in advance of the show, talking about The Next Generation and Voyager, and then we will talk about every episode as it airs, starting January 9th, really, actually, with the short track. So you can also find me on Twitter. I'm at TrekFan4747, where I tweet about nothing but Star Trek. And you can find me hanging around the Babel Conference on Facebook.
If you'd like to help us keep all of our shows coming to you each week, you can become a patron of the network on Patreon. Visit patreon.com/TrekFM. That's patreon.com/TrekFM to get all the details. Perks include early access to episodes, exclusive content, producer credits, and more available through our special patrons website, The Patron Zone. It requires a great deal of money to produce, host, and distribute these shows each month. We really appreciate any support you can give us and hope you'll join the team. Again, you'll find all the details at patreon.com/TrekFM.
We'd like to take this opportunity to recognize our current artificially intelligent associate producers. They are Norman Lau, Michael Huter, Thomas Appel, Chris Trabuzio, Joe Keegan, Jim McMahon, and me, Justin Ozer. Thank you for supporting Trek FM, and especially Earl Grey.
So join us next time for another cup of Earl Grey.
My mom is a real pain in the rocks, I tell you what.
Great joy and gratitude.
And the universe worships the night.